All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, September 26th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a six-game MLB early main slate already underway. Good luck to all of you in that slate. And then we have Thursday Night Football tonight between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Just should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. And then as a reminder, we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can always sign up for that show by dropping your DK username in the Office Hours channel on our Discord server, and I can pull you up on stream, give you live personalized feedback, advice, and tips about things I think you can do different to help increase your post-contest sim ROIs and ultimately submit stronger lineups into your contest, which should ultimately help you win, right? That is the goal. All right, so we're going to start with questions in the Discord, as always, and then jump over to the live YouTube chat. So let me get over to new SaberSim. Was doing a demo on old earlier. All right, first question. Can we go over ways to differentiate from the field on showdown builds? Good question. So there's a couple of different ways I like to look at this. Number one, one of the easiest ways is to lower max salary. So it is very easy when you are, you know, hand building on your phone or things like that, like a lot of casual players, to try and use like really close to the max salary there. So one way is, hey, I'm going to play lower salary lineups, right? We've seen users have a very lean showdown process where the only change that they make is they come in here and they adjust the minimax salaries and they let it rip like from there with very few other tweaks and edits. And that could be one way, right? Another thing I like to do is I like to come in here and just run a cash build, you know, switch build mode from sim to optimizer, make my two quick adjustments to projections, and then run 20 lineups, right? Basically what I want to do is say, hey, when people are, you know, building using an optimizer, what are going to be the most common lineup constructions for today's slate, right? So then I come in here, I look at all 20 lineups, and then, you know, this kind of gives me an idea of what I can expect to see, right? So like, hey, you know, Dak captain or quarterback captain, probably going to be really popular. Coming in, look at stack exposures, like, hey, okay, 4-2 stacks, going to be really popular with a lot of actually 4-2 giant stacks, right? So seems like people might be like paying up for like Dak and then getting to like some cheaper players on the Giants, since you know, their team's a little bit different. So like those are notes that I'm making, right? Like, okay, you know, okay, we got our like 4-2 stacks, we got like the Dak captains, great. You know, what do I do with that information, right? So one thing I'll do is, you know, say I come in here and come and build some lineups, right? So I'm going to make a couple adjustments here. I personally like to lower minimum salary to 40,000, something I do. You don't have to do it, but I'm like totally cool playing lower salary lineups in general. Similar to the first point, right? Like, hey, you know, you drop salary, like you might end up just being different by doing that. So for me, it's just like, if this lineup is coming up in the Sims, great. I want to be open to the idea of playing it. That's how I think about it. But all right, let's build these lineups. Let these lineups run. Lineup should be done soon. All right, lineups are finished. So going back to what we were talking about, right? We're talking about like, okay, hey, what do we do with the information that the field is going to play a lot of 4-2 stacks, right? Well, what I like to do is come in here and just make sure that I'm with my non 4-2 stacks, right? You can even get more granular and like go in the team stacks. I want to make sure I'm getting to about my pool exposure with the other stack types, right? So it's like, hey, 5-1s are coming up about 17% of the time. I kind of want to be close to this number because I know that the field is less likely to play this kind of lineup, right? Same thing for 3-3s even, right? Like we saw less 3-3s than we did 4-2s. So the fact that we're seeing this right off the bat is good. But if I was seeing like 0% 5-1s, I might come in here and set a minimum exposure to 5-1 stacks, right? To make sure I'm getting to some of those. So this is another way to differentiate. And then the last way to differentiate would be with some type of geometric mean rule or filter, right? So geometric mean is a form of product ownership where you're basically multiplying player ownerships together in an effort to estimate the duplication of the lineup. So we have a tutorial on this in our support documentation. If you go to the right corner, you go to help. You go down to frequently asked questions. You click view more. Now you can come in here and type geometric. And then we have this video, how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work? I basically break down the differences, why it's important, the calculations in the 5-minute video here. So I'll drop this in the YouTube chat. I'll also drop it in Discord, but this could be another way to do it as well, right? So there's a couple different ways to do this. And you know, we just went over three that I think are all pretty viable. And truthfully, three things that I'm actively thinking about when building my own showdown lineups. So where did this come from? Came from Interrogator, and I will drop this video here as a part of this answer. But good question to get us started today. All right. Next question. Is there a way to differentiate stack types by captain, meaning a 4-2 captain and 3-flex from the same team stack versus a 2-4 stack captain and 1-flex from the same team? By differentiate, I mean things like sort by, set max, / minimum exposure, etc. What you can do, the closest you can get to this, is going to the team stacks, and then from here, you're going to see, okay, I have 4 stacks of the Giants. Now, if I want to see what those 4 stacks actually look like, I need to go in here and click the plus magnifying glass, and then it will zone in on those specific 4-2 stacks. So what happened here, and I can't do it without removing the question, but basically there are 2,000 lineups in my pool. And then when I click the plus icon, it drops to 358. So then now we're zoning in on the 4-2 stacks here. And then also we're zoning in on the 4-2 stacks in the set of lineups that we're viewing. So right here, there are 4 lineups out of our initial 20 that are 4-2s. And then you can just come in here and look at them. You can manually trash them, whatever you want. Exposures also get updated, right? So if I were to come to the exposures, So here, let me move some columns around so we can see this a little bit better. All right, let's open this back up. All right, so we're currently filtered for those Giants 4 stacks, right? So then when I come over to players, you're going to see that the exposures are updated just for the 4 lineups. So in these Giant 4 stacks, 3 of them, 75%, have CeeDee Lamb captain. One of them has Daniel Jones captain. And then you can go to the flex, and then you can see the same thing, right? Okay, 3 of them have Daniel Jones flex. 3 of them have Dak flex. 2 have Greg Joseph, right? And then if I come and turn that off, those exposures basically reset, right? You're probably going to have to do some manual intervention and be very, very specific, but you can't, unfortunately, you can't go further than that. All right. Hey, Andrew, quick question. You reviewed my lineups a day ago and the feedback was great. Thanks. I now have a question regarding pull percent post build. Should I be aiming to meet that in any way? Typically, I've tried not to have more exposure per stack type player stack than the highest, but wanted to hear your thoughts on the overall purpose of the pool exposure column. Good question. Personally, I think it's okay to have less. You know, I'll use it as like a guiding marker rather than something that I want to like hold true to. So Showdown's kind of a bad example, just because there's like, you know, if someone's high in the captain, then that means like their flex exposure is kind of like just lower by default. So kind of gets a little weird there. But like, let's say we go back to this morning's MLB slate, right? And let me get the my projection column back over here. And we'll do 500 lineups. So let's let these lineups run. Lineups just about done. All right. So let's use like pitchers for an example. So here we see that, you know, Tyler Anderson's in about 43% of our lineups, and he also has 43% ownership, but we have 60% exposure. You know, is that a bad thing? I don't think so. You know, I wouldn't be like lowering it here to match that. I think one thing that you can look for, right, is like, okay, maybe somebody like Reese Olson, where he has 19% ownership, but he's in about 8% of our lineup. So that's like less than half. You know, this is like an indication of where I might just want to be careful with this person's exposure. Matching like their exposure, matching their ownership is fine here, but I might not want to be over the field on this player. Right. So it's like when their pool leverage is negative, I would be more concerned. But say somebody's pool leverage is like even or even a little bit positive, well, then I'm more comfortable being 2x the field, 3x the field. Right. Like we talk about these leverage bands and how much exposure versus ownership. And we talk about like a good range being 2 to 3x in general, just as like some general parameters for you guys. You know, that would generally mean that you're over their pool exposure, but I think that's okay. Like, this is just an extra data point to look at, to use in your analysis. And I basically use it the exact way that I just described, making sure where, you know, the pool exposure and the exposure in my top lineups don't disagree heavily is like a red flag for me. So that's just something I'm watching for. All right. Hey, a few questions on a Showdown slate. Would you recommend on, let's say, 350 lineups playing, one min unique or two for NFL and MLB? Is it bad to do late swap too frequently? And how do you handle min uniques on late swap? Okay, so a couple of questions here. Let's just go one at a time. So on a Showdown slate, would you recommend 350 lineups playing one min unique or two? For me, it's going to depend on the effect that this has on the lineups, right? So like, let's go back to the Showdown. So I have 2000 lineups here, right? Let's say that I have 350. All right. So there's a couple different ways you can analyze this. And I'm going to run a contest sim in the meantime, which I don't have one set up. So let's go and create a custom one. All right, just kicked off the contest sim here. So let's let this run before answering this question. In the meantime, we're going to answer question two. Is it bad to do late swap too frequently in NFL and MLB? So I wouldn't say bad is the right word. it might just not be necessary is the right word, depending on when you're doing it. So let's say that, you know, you're running a late swap for the early MLB slate for earlier, right? What we recommend is to late swap before every game start time, right? So on this slate, what I recommend is, you know, what we consider like optimal is like late swapping between Milwaukee and then the Royals game. There's only 5 minutes in between the next game. So I would just group these together. I would do one late swap for like basically both of these games. I would do another late swap before the Angels game, another late swap before the Cardinals game, and then one last late swap before the Rangers. Now, there is no need to do two late swaps between the Angels and the St. Louis Cardinals start time, right? Because as long as you do that late swap, the point of the late swap is to update for the latest and greatest information as far as ownership and how the players are actually doing to that point in the game if you have the live contest sims. So you only need to do it before the next game starts, and you technically want to wait as long as possible. But you also want to be careful, right? So say normally it takes you 5 minutes to do your late swap and get your lineups in. I would start that process 10 minutes before the next game start time to make sure you just have a couple extra minutes in case something goes wrong, in case something takes longer than you expect it to. So there's no reason to do a late swap, say at 11:30 and then 12 o'clock because these games start 11:10 and 12:10 my time. I would just do the 12 o'clock one and skip the earlier one. So that could just be kind of like a waste of time doing them too often. All right, let's go back to the first question where we were talking about the uniques and the 350 lineup. So it looks like this contest sim is done now. So contest sim is finished, right? Let's go set up some aggregate metrics. So ones I like to look at, average projection, average ROI. So let's set these up. So we got our values here, right? And then we're going to go and sort by the contest sim ROI. So what I would and then number two, how far down in my pool do I go basically? So going from one to two uniques with 350 lineups out of 2000. Well, one, it took me down to lineup 596, which isn't that bad, but my ROI went down about 20% and my average projection went down 2.7 points. I personally don't love that, but I think this is just because we have so many lineups out of 2000. Maybe if you ran a 5000 pool, it might be okay. You know, maybe if you had 150 lineups, it might be okay. But the question isn't should I use one? You should use these data points to make that decision. Sometimes one might be right. Sometimes two might be right. The point is you don't want to hurt your lineup set too much by dropping too much projection or dropping too much ROI, because we've seen that both of these things matter a lot in the post-contest sim build review shows that we do, right? So you're trying to protect these while getting diversity. When you have to sacrifice too much, then you probably want to walk the diversity back a little bit. So that's the point I want to drive home here. All right. Last question. How do you handle min uniques on late swap? Good question. I do it really, really similar to this, right? So you can run live contest sims, and then you can fire up your average projection and average ROI aggregate metrics, and you can use it the same exact way. Make sure that, you know, those metrics aren't changing too much. It is pretty common to get to less uniques in late swap than you do pre-build. So if you got to four pre-build, but you can only get to two or three in late swap, that's okay. I would stop at two or three. The point is you don't want to negatively affect your lineups too much by forcing too much diversity. All right, next question. Do we need to rebuild lineups every time or just run the contest sim again? I'm assuming this was in regards to the early MLB slate. So if lineups get confirmed and you don't have any out players, I don't think you need to rebuild lineups. I think you could just rerun the contest sim to update for the most current projections. So I think that's fine. But we've talked about this like a little bit with the changes to like the sim schedule for NFL, where if there's like, you know, news or significant projection changes in sims, it might just be worth rerunning the contest sim if nobody's out. So if nobody's out in your lineups, you can just rerun the contest sim, update for the projections, and resort your lineups effectively. But if you do have out players, then I would rebuild your lineup. So that's the only time. Got a funny comment. Getting real sick and tired of seeing SaberSim at the top of the DFS leaderboards. That's a good one. It's a good one. Gotta sign up and gotta take advantage of our winner's circle promotion. All right. This is a follow-up to the question I just answered, so we'll hit this. Okay, gotcha. You answered my question. I was just thinking that I've been performing badly over these past 5 or 6 days because I was maybe late swapping too much before every game. Yeah, so it is good to late swap before every game. Just don't need to do it multiple times. You cut out during your answer on mini uniques. I'll just go over that really quickly. So again, with the mini uniques, the big thing here is don't trade too much diversity for projections or ROI. You always want to find a balance between your aggregate metrics and diversity. You never want to have too much of one versus the other. So try and adjust the number to where these numbers don't move too much. I'd say like, you know, 1 point projection, 2 point projection, maybe 10 to 20% ROI. Like I would consider those to be a little big, right? So it just depends. Part of the reason why I've been asking about the mini uniques in late swap today, I was doing the early main slate, for example, and had Cardinals pitcher in at 97%, but then I late swapped and then I ran the swap and then bumped him down to 10%. Hard to say. I think Relic CK asked something similar in the office hours channel, and I told him I'd pass it along to our team for like some analysis. So I bet you that your two things here are a little bit similar. So our team is looking into some of those things. All right. Had one in the YouTube chat here from Deshaun. Question for NFL DFS. How much exposure is too much in your opinion for one player? I know for MLB, you said no more than 2X to 3X the field on one player. Would you apply that to NFL as well? So yes, I do apply that to one player as well. It could be a little bit scary, I'll say, you know, when you have like 90% Jordan Mason and he's a running back and running backs are like a little bit more injury prone, but I've been rolling with it. So if 3X feels like too much for you, you know, maybe you jump it down to 2X, right? We kind of give that spectrum to allow players to find something within their risk tolerance band that best suits them. So that's what I would be trying to do is figure out what values make you the most comfortable before submitting your lineups. If you submit your lineups and you do not feel good about them, I would probably go back and change them. Because no matter what happens at the end of the day, you want to feel comfortable with the lineups you submitted. You want to, you know, you don't want to be kicking yourself if somebody gets hurt. Like I knew it, you know, I had too much exposure, and you know, the right reaction is like, get to a set of lineups where if something bad happens, you're like, oh, well, like on to next week, or okay, you know, I did my best there. So, you know, those things happen, right? Like that's kind of the outcome you're looking for. If you're, you know, cussing and screaming, like you probably are a little too exposed to a player or like wagering too much on like a given day. So like be a little careful. All right. Deshaun said, are you okay with lowering max salary to 48,000 for NFL showdown? I mean, I've seen users in the Build a View show lower to like 48.5 and have really good sim ROIs. So I think if that's something you want to experiment with, you can, you know, you're obviously blocking yourself from any winning lineup above that. And if you're okay with that trade-off, I think it's okay. You know, you could also try it. This is something I recommend to people all the time. Try it in one contest and then study your flashback results from that single contest. So, you know, take a dime time contest, trial and error and approach, go back, study the post-contest sim ROIs, see how it does. And if it does well, expand it to the quarter jukebox, expand it to the $1.20 max, expand it to the $3.20 max, right? Like slowly introduce these changes and use the results to in the post contest sim to help you decide, do I want to keep doing this thing or not? So that's the way I would recommend that. All right. Another question in the YouTube chat, if there have not been any player projection updates at all, do we need to run a late swap? So if you're on like starter or pro, then the answer is no. If you are on ultimate and you have access to the live contest sims, the answer would be yes. And the reason for that is because as the games go on, we are taking in the score, the points scored, the hits, the RBIs, the runs, all of that information. And then we are re-updating the projections for the players as the games go on. So, you know, let's say that, you know, we're right in between the Angels and the Cardinals game, and there's no significant changes when the Texas lineup comes out. You know, should we late swap? The answer is yes, because maybe someone on the Rays hits a home run and they were projected for 7 points, but now they have 14, right? So their projection is going to update to be higher. Maybe it's 17, maybe it's 16, right? We're using that actual information, rerunning the contest sim with the actual lineups that are being played and then giving you more realistic ROI figures as the game goes on. So even if there's no significant changes, if you have live contest sims, you should still continue to late swap. All right. Good stuff so far. Couple more changes, or couple more questions here. So let's grab these, drop them in the YouTube chat. All right. All right. First question. Why do the min ROIs change, usually for the worse and often into the negative, when toggling between direct and auto fill? So there's been some confusion around how the aggregate metrics for autofill work. We understand it's a little confusing and we want to update it to be a little bit more clear on exactly how and what those metrics are representing. But basically, this is how it's been described to me. So the aggregate metrics are the aggregates of whatever metric is being displayed. So say you're using min destination ROI, which is like the target ROI. So that is the minimum of the average ROIs when all the contests are selected. So the average target ROI or destination ROI across all the contests can have a negative minimum value, even if it is not negative in a specific contest that was filled. So the confusing part is in the part that we want to change is we want to change it so that each lineup only uses its parent contest for the aggregate metrics, but that's going to take a little bit more work for our team to do. So you're basically not looking at it on like a contest level. You're looking at it in like all of the aggregate metric level together, which kind of throws off what you're looking at. So this is just more of like a display thing and less about the individual contests and having negative ROI. So I wouldn't worry too much here. All right. When filling multiple contests on autofill, what aggregate metrics are we seeing there? Unique stats chosen from all lineups filled in that contest set. Yeah. So this one kind of goes with the last one. So I think I just did like a kind of a 2-for-1 there. But if there's more questions around it, let me know in the Discord and we can circle back on it. But looks like we're all caught up here in the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Reminder, Build a Review Show goes live in about 30 minutes here. So I will see you all there. But until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.